John chapter 15, for me, is a chapter all about bearing fruit. So we're going to, there's so many things you could look at, but we're going to look at bearing fruit. And I just want to say it this way to start out with. A lot of times when people read over that, when they see fruit, a lot of people have in their mind already what fruit he's talking about. Because you've got the fruit of the Spirit. You've got the precious fruit of the earth. You've got fruit that you produce just in your service to the Lord. You've got the fruit of your lips. The people of the earth, the precious fruit of the earth. So there's so many ways, because of the time this was written, so much that Jesus did in the Word of God written to those who understand, agriculture very well. I was joking, my cousin Scott was in town, and we were talking about me growing up on the farm again. He still is, and he likes the farm stuff. I never quite got it or understood it, and really was glad that I was delivered. But I do understand, and I am grateful, because I understand corn. And Belinda, when she went up to the north with us to Illinois, she understands the fields of corn a little better, and just how. But even though we went up during the winter, I mean, there's just where I live, there's just fields. I was surrounded by cornfields. So I understand some things about this, but I want you to clearly understand what John chapter 15 is talking about, because it's not talking about the fruit of the Spirit. It's not even talking about the fruit you bring out of your life in service to the Lord. The fruit that it's talking about is answered prayer. The fruit that it's talking about is answered prayer. And so I want you to start with me in John chapter 15, verse number 8. Y'all gonna believe with me, right? I've got some things in my heart. I want to get things that I do know in my heart. I want to get to tonight, but I need you to be with me. John 15, 8. Herein is my Father glorified. Anybody want to glorify God? Anybody want to glorify the Father? So here, this is how you do it. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. How much fruit? Much, much, much fruit, right? So shall you be my disciples. Anybody a disciple of the Lord in the room? That we were supposed to be making disciples of people. Well, true disciples bear much fruit. True disciples bear much fruit. Ones that are taught, a disciple is someone taught of the Lord. Someone who follows the Lord closely, that's a disciple. And someone who is a true disciple, someone who's truly taught of the Lord, they bear much fruit. Amen. Is that you? You want to glorify the Father? Then set about to bear much fruit. All right. John 15, 16. It says this: you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. I've ordained you for what? That you should go and bring forth fruit. And that your fruit should do what? So he's ordained you to do what? Go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should what? Remain. Remaining fruit, much fruit. We're supposed to be bearing fruit in our lives. So when you look at that, if you just pull those scriptures out of there, then you think, well, it's all the kind of fruit. And most people I've heard teach on this talk about the fruit that comes from your life, which is good and somewhat of an application. But if you take it in context, it's talking about you getting your prayers answered. It's talking about you receiving the promises of God. And he wants you to receive the promises of God, and he wants you to have a lot of them. The promises of God are what? Yes and amen. Are you in Christ Jesus? Then the promises of God to you are what? Yes and amen. And how many are you supposed to have? You're supposed to have all of them. And you're supposed to bear lots of fruit. And it shouldn't be temporary fruit. It should be fruit that does what? It remains. In other words, you're fruity people. Hallelujah. You're bearing fruit everywhere you go. You're getting your prayers answered all the time. And I'm going to tell you, I want to show you from the Word why I know this. All right, so let's look at John 15 and 7. If you abide in me, how many know 7 comes before 8? So in context, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you will and it shall be done for you. Verse 8. Again says, if you want to glorify my Father, you do what? Bear much fruit. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you'll ask what you will, and it shall be done. What's it talking? Then it goes on to talk about you bearing fruit. So bearing fruit there has to do with you abiding in him and his words abiding in you, and you asking. You have not because you ask not. Amen? He wants you to ask because he wants you to receive, because he wants you to bear much fruit. And the fruit that it's talking about is you receiving your prayers answered from the Lord. All right, so let's pick it up in the other place. John 15:16. Let's finish that one. You have not chosen me, I've chosen you. That's just cool. And ordained you. He's ordained you. I want to be ordained. Well, you are ordained. That you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, he'll do what? Whatever you ask the Father in the name of Jesus, he'll give it you. Why? Because he's chosen you and he's ordained you that you would go and bear fruit and that your fruit would remain. This fruit that it's talking about is your prayers being answered. This fruit that it's talking about is you receiving the promises of God that are yes and amen. This fruit that it's talking about is you receiving all that the Father has for you and learning how to walk in all that it has. But how many of you, I don't know what age your children were, but has anybody ever gone to Chuck E. Cheese? Has anyone gone to see the mouse? That is the mouse. Now, Disney's not the only one with the mouse, right? So Chuck E. It's been a while since we've been to Chuck E. I remember when I was hanging out with the couple that helped start the church with you, Paul and Dana. They had a son named Joshua. He was 2 years old or three at that time. And we went to, back that day, there was a place called Discovery Zone, similar. And I had to interpret his tongues because he wanted to go to Scurvy Zone. And they couldn't figure it out. And I'm like, I know. Discovery Zone. And he's like, ah. So if you've ever gone to Chuck E or any place like that as a parent, and you tell your children, the Dows are back there, they got four of them. They went to all four of them and said, we're going to go to Chuck E. Cheese. We're going to go see the mouse. But you have to pick up all the toys and your beds must be made. What are those? They're conditions. Now, as good parents, we would all keep those conditions. In other words, if we laid them out, I don't know how good you all are at this, but you keep your word, you put conditions on it, and until those conditions are met, you don't go see the mouse. And you check to see those conditions. In other words, all the toys are picked up and all the beds were mostly made. No, all the way made. All the way, not going to bend anything. And you see, a lot of times when we think about God's goodness and grace and mercy, we think sometimes that he excuses his conditions in the word. And that's where a lot of people who hear a lot of word, who are not really disciples, who don't follow him closely, get very disappointed. Because this is Jesus. Yes, he's speaking in the Gospels, but I can bear it out in the epistles as well. Sometimes there are conditions. If you've ever heard prophetic utterance, a lot of times when God gives prophetic utterance, there's conditions. If you'll do this, I'm going to do this. Because there's ifs a lot of times with God. In other words, there's a God side and there's a man side. Are you with me? There's a God side and a man side. So here, we've got our... Are y'all with me on the Chuck E? Do you understand? If the bed isn't made and the toys are not picked up, we're not going. No matter how much you cry, no matter how much you beg, Chuck E is available, but he's available with conditions. And so in the same manner, so is, and it's in the same way that you abounding with much fruit. Really, God has laid it out there so you and I can abound with much fruit, but it is definitely conditional. And the thing about receiving from God is it's not enough to know that it's available. It's not enough to know that Chuck E. Cheese is up on, you know, the north side of Huntsville and we can get there and it's a lot of fun. You got to meet the conditions to get there. And so in this, you bearing much fruit, there's some definite conditions. There's some very definite conditions. Now, some of you, if you've been in my prayer class and Bible Institute, you've heard me teach on this a lot. This is my main scripture text. I take a lot for prayer, but I want you to see this. John 15:7. These are your two conditions. And if these two conditions are met, then you get the rest of the scripture. God's conditions are just not so that he can whip you into shape, but everything that he does there's a reason behind it. A lot of times there's a legal thing behind it upon the earth. But this is what I know. He says very clearly, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, and I say it this way, then and only then can you ask what you will and it shall be done. The promises of God are for everybody. But why don't more of us, why don't we consistently 100% of the time walk in all that there is? I'm telling you, I believe this is a huge key. If you abide in me. So we got to figure out what that is. And if my word abides in you, then and only then can you ask what you will, and then it's going to be done. Well, it's not too hard because it's laid out in the word, and I believe we can get it. Amen. So let me just remind you of some things. What does it mean to abide in him? So let's look up here at John chapter 15. Let's look at verse number 4. John 15, verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. The word abide means to be vitally united, to become one with. So if we're going to walk in the promises of God, if we're going to receive all the time, then we're going to have to learn to abide in him. Everybody say, abide. I am abiding in the vine. What does that mean? I'm vitally united. He makes it very clear. He's the vine, you're the branch. The branch cannot bear fruit. What kind of fruit? Get their prayers answered fruit. How much? Much fruit. Fruit that remains. Fruit that you walk in, fruit that you have. And so if you abide in him, that means that you're vitally united with him. That means you're connected with him. And I use it like this as an illustration. I can't come up with a better one, so I'll just keep using it. On 565, how many, you understand, like, or on 65, seeing semis go by? The big truck, the semi-tractor, and the trailer, right? They're, if you look in the, with the trailer, they're vitally united, they're connected. And they're so vitally united, the trailer cannot go anywhere without the tractor part, right? I don't think any of you, have any of you ever seen a trailer going down I-65 on its own? If you ever do, you should do what? You should do something, because this is bad. This is bad. And so... what does the tractor part do? It steers. Without the tractor, the trailer goes nowhere. Doesn't matter the desire of the trailer. It doesn't matter if it's on a mission. It just doesn't matter. Because the trailer has no power to get to its destination without a tractor, without the semi. In the same way, you and I know this, Jesus said it, without me, you can't do anything. Do y'all believe that? Without him, I am nothing. Without him, I know nothing. Without him, I can do nothing. Without him, I can be nothing. Those are the in you realities. But aren't you glad you're not in you anymore? Because in him, I can do all things. But you see, even after you get born again, if you remain in you, if you're the one trying to make it happen, if you're the financier of your life, if you're the director of your life, if you're the controller of your life, if you're the doer of your life, then you're going to be very frustrated because you are the trailer going somewhere trying to happen and you can't go anywhere. You've got to get attached to the semi, to the tractor, which is Jesus. And the tractor is the one with the motor and with the steering wheel. And you're not the driver. One of the hardest things in my life was quit trying to be the driver. In the natural, I like to be the driver. Today, I let Pastor Rhonda drive me around for just a little bit. I don't like it. I didn't like it today. I don't like it ever. It's terrible for me to admit, but I just don't like it. There's something about humanity, and especially me, and maybe some of you, I want to be in charge. But with God, you cannot be in charge and make it. You are not the Lord of your life. You have to trust Him. You have to trust the unseen driver of your life. And you have to attach yourself to Him fully. That's what He said, if you abide in me. And when you abide in Him, He'll abide in you. I am vitally united to Him. So let's look at another one. Let's look at this. Let's look at John 15:10, right there. He keeps talking about it. He said, if you keep my commandments, you abide in my love. You say, well, that doesn't have anything to do with it. Yeah. How many of you know that God is love? And everything in God works by love. And he said, if you keep my... So what's another clue to abiding in him? I got to understand that he is the vine and I'm the branch. If I'm not vitally connected to him, there's no way I can bear any fruit. If I'm not doing what he says when he says to do it, if my life is not attached to him in a very meaningful way, if he's not number one in my life, if I don't trust him with everything, I'm not going to be able to bear fruit on a regular basis. Oh, you might hit one every now and again. But I'm talking about living at a place where you bear much fruit and you can get 100% of your petition prayers answered. Oh, yeah. We should be more surprised when something doesn't come to pass than when it does come to pass. We're supposed to be bearing much fruit. And our fruit should remain. Shouldn't be momentary. It should be remaining. So what do we know? Well, number two, we know if we keep his commandments. Remember Jesus said, how can I tell if you love me? If you love me, you'll do what? Keep my commandments. What is keeping his commandments? I'm a doer of the word. Are you a doer of the word? Are you building your house? I mean, we're doers of the word. So what does that mean? I'm abiding in him. If you abide in my love, even as I have my Father's commandments, and I abide in his love. So if I'm abiding in his love, the great commandment, if I'm abiding in the word, because he's the word, he is love, then I'm keeping the word. I'm a doer of the word. Nothing like boom, but just reminding us, what does it look to abide in him? Because if I have to keep these two, I ought to thoroughly know these two. If these are the conditions before I get to go to Chuck E. Cheese, I want to know, does throwing toys in the closet, you know, or do they have to be put up? Bed made means, you know, everything tucked in, or just, you know, what are your standards? And with God, we know the standard. If you abide in me, if you abide in me, 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, we're just going to look at the Amplified, just 2:6. 1 John 2:6, not 16, 2:6. Whoever says he abide in him ought, as a personal debt, to walk and conduct himself in the same way in which Jesus walked and conducted himself. Oh, Lord. How could I do that? Well, you can't. Except help from the Holy Ghost. But we are to strive for this scripture because I want to abide in him. So if you're saying you abide in him, you ought as a personal debt to walk and conduct yourself in the same manner that Jesus conducted himself on the earth. In other words, there's no lying going on. There's no cheating going on. I mean, it's a manner of living. You know that what would Jesus do thing? I think that's a pretty good thing, you know. But the truth is, I mean, people say, well, can you really tell if you're abiding in him? Oh, yeah, you can tell. Would Jesus do that? Pastor, don't put us into religion. I'm not putting you in religion. I'm putting you in the word. Because this is epistle. And this is epistle, which goes along with the gospel. So that means you ought to be doing it and I ought to be doing it. Praise the Lord. Amen. Do you want to bear much fruit? Do you want it to remain? What do you got to do? You got to abide in him. What does it look like? If you abide in him, you ought to, as a personal debt, to walk and conduct. We ought to conduct ourselves. Praise the Lord. We should be conducting ourselves. I thank God for all the t-shirts and stuff we have, but if we have to identify ourselves with a t-shirt instead of our action and manner of living, I mean, if you're going to put a bumper sticker on your car, make sure that you're driving like Jesus would drive. Praise the Lord. In the same way that he walked and conducted himself. 1 John 3:6. No one who abides in him, no one. There's nobody who really abides in him, who lives and remain in. So this is what telling you what abiding in him looks like. Who lives. So it's talking about manner of living. It's talking about conduct. Who lives and remains in communion with him and obedience to him does this. They don't deliberately, knowingly, or habitually commit or practice sin. Abiding in him. What does abiding in him look like? Well, it means that I'm not deliberately, knowingly, habitually committing or practicing sin. Well, how about let's just pretend like we don't know what sin is? Well, that'd be good, except for the Holy Ghost lives on the inside of you, and he knows what sin is. He lives in me. And he's not going to let me get away with it because he doesn't want me to get into it. Because he knows that the wages of sin is what? Death. But what else does it do? It cuts you off from John 15:7. Because John 15:7, I mean, it just depends on how we want to live. Do we want to just go through life and wait till we get to heaven to have all the blessings of God? Or do you want to have what's for you now? And this is what I would say. One of the things that you and I could do is, okay, Lord, I believe John 15:7. This is a prayer that'll get answered really quick. Am I doing anything that's not abiding in you? Am I doing anything? It's really quiet in here. Am I doing anything? Am I doing anything that isn't really abiding in you? Because, Lord, I want to glorify you. And how I glorify you is not just lifting my voice during worship, but the word said, Jesus said, I glorify you when I bear much fruit. And so I want to bear much fruit, not just for me, but I want to glorify you. I want to receive all that Jesus has done for me, and I want to glorify you, and I know I glorify you when I bear much fruit. So that's what it looks like, abiding in him. Can you tell? Can I tell? Now, how many of you know, we don't have to, you know, like they used to have the talk about the fruit of the Spirit, people used to be fruit inspectors. In other words, everybody is judging everybody's fruit. Well, like that is wrong. You don't have to judge if everybody else is abiding in him. That's for you. Am I abiding in him? Are you abiding? And that's something for us personal, and the Holy Ghost can help us. Because just like it's easy to see if a trailer is not attached to a semi, it's very easy to see if we're not abiding in him. But it's very easy to fix. I said it's very easy to fix. And I know you being here tonight, you want to walk in the much fruit and your fruit to remain. So one of the things you can ask, one of the things I can ask, one of the things we ought to ask is, Lord, is there an area that is causing me not to abide in you? Am I doing anything that's causing my, how many of you know even a partially hooked trailer going down 70 miles an hour on I-65 is scary? And it's not going to get there. Eventually is going to break off. You got to be totally hooked. To abide means to be vitally united. Vitally. In other words, it's a living connection. And we have to work on that living connection and make sure we're connected. John 15:7 again. If you abide in me and what? Okay, so I'm a child. And I get the toys picked up. And now I say, Daddy, I'm ready to go to Chuck E. Cheese. Well, let's go look at your bed. Well, it's not made. Yeah, but my toys are picked up. My toys are picked up. But that's not the full condition. There were two conditions that had to be fully met. Two conditions fully met. Is this law? It's not law in a wrong way, but the word of God is law. In other words, law, gravity is a law. Law is not a bad word unless you use it unlawfully. You are not under the law, you're under grace. But grace does not free you from John chapter 15, verse 7. Or 1 John 2 and 6 and 3 and 6. The Lord has laid this out for us so that we can consistently bear much fruit and that our fruit would remain. And it's doable for everybody in the room. It's doable for everyone in the world. It's doable for every born-again believer because it's written for us and we know the conditions. So it's not like if I was a child and I wanted to go to Chuck E. Cheese and mom and dad said, we're going to go, but you got to figure out what you got to do to meet the conditions. So mom and dad are just sitting there and you do 15 or 20, you go mow the lawn, but the two conditions they wanted were the toys picked up and the bed made, and you could be guessing. How many know that's just mean and cruel and wrong? And in the same way in the spirit, this incorporates a lot of things, but Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you'll ask what you will and it shall be done. Shall be done. Shall be done. I know people look at me all the time. I do believe that you can get 100% of your petition prayers answered. Why do I believe that? Because the prayer of faith, some people call it. I like to call it the petition prayer. Is, 1 John 5, 14, 15. This is the confidence that I have in him. That if I ask anything according to his will, I know that he hears me. And if I know that he hears me, I know that I have the petitions I've desired of him. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them. Believe you do what? You got to receive them first before you can have them. I'm just telling you, this is a basic teaching tonight, but it just, hopefully, what I'm trying to do is bring you back to, okay, and then it should encourage you. If you are abiding in him and his word does abide in you, then the devil can't take from you. He can't talk you out of it. By any circumstance you see, because you've got the solid word of God. It's in red. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then if you'll ask what you will, it shall be done. It shall be done. That's just good news. So what does it mean, the word abide in you? Proverbs chapter 4, 20 through 24. How do you get the word abiding in you? Why is it important? My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear unto my sayings. Just what you're doing tonight. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of your life, of life. Verse 24, put away from you a froward mouth and perverse lips put far from thee. I could stop here and teach for 20 hours, but I've got 20 minutes. So I'm going to do it this way. You got three gates to your heart. You got an eye gate, you got an ear gate, you got a mouth gate. Your mouth gate's your biggest gate because it's got stuff going in and coming out. This is a big gate. And if you open this gate wrong, in a wrong way, and you don't know what you're doing, your destruction will be great. But you've got an eye gate, you got an ear gate, and you got a mouth gate. Jesus said, be careful what you see, and he said, be careful what you hear and how you hear it. And so these gates all go into your heart. And out of the issues, out of your heart, out of your soil, flow the issues of your life. If you don't like your life, change what's in your heart first. Now, understand what I'm about to say. Some people immediately go for the mouth, and I understand that. We got to get our mouths right. But the truth of the matter is, if you'll change what's in your heart, your mouth will automatically change. Even in worship, Jesus said, they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. This is a heart and mouth connection. It's got to be that way. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. So we got to see that the word abiding in us has to do with our heart, because out of it flow the issues of our life. And so let's just read it again one more time. I know you all know this, but let's look at it again. Proverbs 4:20 says, my son, attend. Everybody say attend. So that's not casual, is it? I remember one year, I don't know why my dad wanted to be the little hobby farmer that he was, but we had gardens. Now I do appreciate a garden that I get produce from, as long as I don't got to work it. And so, I remember one year we had this garden, and I used to be in 4-H. Y'all know what 4-H is, and so you know you'd show the fruit of your whatever you got, and you'd get a ribbon, either a white one, a blue one, a red one, or a blue one, and you get some money for it, whatever. But I remember one year we went away for like 2 weeks on a camping trip, and we came home, and our garden was nothing but, we left it in good condition, but in 2 weeks we came back, it was totally taken over with weeds. You cannot, I cannot rest on yesterday's word. There is too much stuff in the earth today that you have to put up with hearing and seeing. There's a lot of, some of you don't think I'm doing the wrong, there's a lot of weed out there. There's a lot of weed seeds, and there's a lot of that too. And it's out there, but what's it trying to do? It's trying to get through your eye gate, your ear gate, and your mouth gate. Why? We're going to look at it a little bit because you know it, but I just want to remind you of Jesus said, if my words abide, two conditions, you abide in me and my words abide in you. In other words, the word of God, because Jesus is the word, is first place. It's first place. Attend to my words, so it's not casual. If you quit attending to it, faster than you know it, the stuff on the inside gets messed up. You got to attend to it. Incline your ear into my sayings. How much should you be doing that? You and I should be doing that all the time. Inclining our ear to his sayings. Verse 21 again. Let them not depart. Well, what is that? Let them not depart. That's all the time. Let them not depart from your eyes. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. I mean, it's just so true. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Because why? Verse 22, they are life, God's life, unto those that find them, health to all their flesh. Verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of your life. And it says, put away from you a froward mouth. So let's pick one. Let's do one of the soil ones. Let's go to Luke. Luke chapter 8. You could go to Matthew, Mark, or Luke, but let's look at Luke 8, just as a reminder. I think we'll start with verse 11, and we'll go down. Luke 8, 11. Now, the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. I know you all know this, but pay attention, all right? Because I want to remind you, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, what's going to happen? You ask what you will, and it'll be. So what does abiding in him look like? We got that. But what does abiding in the word look like? To me, it's more intense. It's not a casual read. Thank God for reading through the Bible in the year. And you should do that. But it's more than that. It's more than a casual grabbing a hold of it. It's more than just coming to church. I'm grateful you're here. Don't want you to be anywhere else. But it's more to abide in the word is more than that. It's like a grabbing a hold of and letting go. And then your soil is involved, and there's a real, real protection that comes over your soil. Then it goes through the four kinds of soil. Those that are by the wayside are they that hear. Then comes the devil and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Then there's those on the rock. When they hear, they receive the word with joy. They have no root. And while they believe in a time of temptation, they fall away. Then there's those that fell among the thorns, or they which have heard, they go forth, but they're choked with the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life, and they bring no fruit to perfection. This group, this is where a lot of the church is, not this church, but a lot of people in church, are they believe God, they love God, they want the best, but they open up their soil to everything going around, and the Bible says that it's choked, the weeds get in because of the cares and the riches and the pleasure of this life. And they've got fruit, they've got a tomato, but they can't ever eat it. These are the most frustrated people in the body of Christ. Because I see my tomato, I planted my tomato, I watched over my tomato, but I can never, ever eat one of my tomatoes. Why? Because eventually the cares of this world, the pleasures of life, worry, choke it out with a weed, and it comes to, the Bible says, no fruit ever comes to perfection. How frustrating is that? But this is number four. Now, listen to me. I remember one time I heard this prophet say this, and it really irritated me as a pastor. He said, well, there's four types of soil. I don't care about three of them. He said, I'm only sent to the fourth kind. I'm only sent to the good kind, some that bear 30, some that bear 60, some bear 100. And as a pastor, I'm like, well, so I don't care. You don't care nothing about three quarters of people. But the truth of the matter is, God can get you out of any kind. If you're in the first soil, there's ways to get out of every kind. There really is. Everybody can make their way to soil number four. Everybody can. Not everybody does, but everybody can. Fourth kind of soil. But they that are on good ground, everybody say, I'm good ground. You all are. Good ground are they which are in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, do what with it? They're doers of it, right? And they bring forth fruit with patience. By faith and patience, we inherit the promises of God. Is that right? Amen. So, these soils, and you know, like I said, Jesus said, be careful what you hear and how you hear it. And these kind of soils bring out different things and different aspects. But I just wanted a reminder, a quick reminder of, if you're going to abide in him and his word abides in you, then you're going to be a person. If the word abides in here, you're going to be very aware that this is soil. You're going to be very aware of your soil. If the word is abiding in you, because see, if the word, you're vitally united with it, then where does the word go? It goes into your heart, which is your soil. So you're going to be a person who's abiding in him and his word abides in you. They're very aware that this is soil. And they become very protective of the seed. They become very protective of their eyes, their ears, and their mouth. Because people say, well, how can you really tell if someone's soil is good? Or can you tell? Can you forecast whether they're going to walk in fruit? Can you forecast it? I can not only forecast it and predict it, I can guarantee it. Well, that's not possible because you can't know everybody's heart. Oh, there, you're wrong. Now, I may not know everybody's heart in a setting like this, but if I'm around someone and they know I'm not there, they don't know I'm there, which I'm never creeping on any of you, all right? It's not what you do and say at church. Y'all, that's easy. Luke 6, 43. For a good tree brings not forth corrupt fruit, neither does a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Well, as Pastor, which fruit is this talking about? This is prayer fruit. I'm going to tell you why in a minute. Verse 44. For every tree is what? Known. No guessing. Can you tell the difference between an apple tree and an orange tree? Now, I can't with just the leaves. I might could. Probably Rhonda could. She grew up in Florida. But if you just put a tree in front of me with the leaves, I'm probably not going to get it. But I can definitely tell the difference between an apple and an orange. Every tree is known by its own fruit. For of the thorns, men do not gather figs. Nor of a bramble bush can they get grapes. Verse 45. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth that which is good. An evil man or a natural man out of the natural treasure of his heart brings forth that which is natural. For out of the abundance, see, if you remove the word evil, because really God looks at evil probably different than you do sometimes. Evil, how many of you know the children of Israel brought up an evil report? The Lord called it evil. Why did he call it evil? Well, it was because it was full of unbelief. That's what he says evil is. So if you just say natural, thank God for natural things. We live in a great day where there's a lot of good natural things. But we are not natural people. We're not just mere men. We're born again. Amen. Out of the natural treasure of his heart brings forth that which is natural. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth does what? Can you see, you can always tell what the condition of our soil is. Again, no mouth monitors are necessary. Now, you can get permission of people in your life to help you with your words. But if you don't change what's in your heart, people can correct you morning, noon, and night. It's not going to change anything. Because this is a heart and a mouth thing. And just because someone says the right thing doesn't mean their heart is connected to it. And even sometimes when somebody says the wrong thing doesn't always mean their heart is connected to it. But out of the abundance of your heart, on a regular basis, I like to say it this way, your mouth leaks. When my mouth is leaking something that I don't like, yes, the Bible says put your hand over your mouth, but I'll tell you this. I remember when I first came into where I started hearing teaching about faith, I got so scared of my words that I just quit saying anything. So I figured if you don't say anything, you can't get in trouble and nobody will correct you. So I just quit saying anything until, you know, it was actually when I was pastoring, the Lord said to me, he said, Mark, I said, yep. So I knew, I mean, when he calls me by name, I know I'm up for something. He said, you know what 1,000 times zero is? Well, I'm an accountant. It's one, right? No, it's zero. He said, if I don't have any words to work with, what can I do? It's not enough for you to not say negative. You got to say what I say. But where does it got to come from? It's got to come from out of your heart. You believe in your heart and you say with your mouth that the Lord Jesus was raised from the dead, and then you'll be born again. I've watched people. I had this friend. He's like this evangelist kind of guy, and sometimes he gets real, you know, radical and pushy. And, you know, I remember I was standing outside a pizza place with him, and the guy just wanted to get in his car and go home with his pizza. And so he said, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I believe he's raised from the dead. But he didn't get born again. His pizza was getting cold. Confession is not enough for salvation. But neither is just believing in your heart. You got to have both. How can I tell if I'm abiding in the Word and the Word's abiding in me? How can I tell? Well, what's leaking? Now, you see, I've had some things that leak. And when you've been through some things, the devil bombards you with seed. He tries to get it in your mind so it'll drop into your heart. He tries to get you to question God. Did God say? Did he really mean that? Is he really going to do? I mean, the devil will bombard you with circumstances. Then he'll send people. The devil will send people to try to shore that up. He will. And that's why you got to guard your heart. You got to guard it. You got to watch over it. Put a guard dog at the gates of your heart. It's easy to say what you see, and it's easy to let it get in you. But we're not going to let that happen. Because we know what John 15:7 says. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then whatever you ask, you're going to get it. If you abide in me. What does the word abiding in you look like? It's you understanding that this soil, out of it flow the issues of your life, and you got some gates and you're guarding them. And then you understand that you can tell what fruit you're about to produce, or if it's going to come to perfection, simply by understanding that this and the words that come out of it are indicators of where the temperature of my soil is and what's going on the inside of me. And what happens is when you have some things that are leaking out, that you don't want to leak out, you don't just, you know, oh, fine, I give up. What do? You're like, we're changing. I either going to get rid of that guard, or I'm going to be aware now what's going on, and I'm going to refocus, and I'm going to do some replanting. I'm going to make sure my soil is good, and I'm going to replant. And I'm going to ask the Lord to help me, and I'm going to believe for some Holy Ghost. I know for me, there's seasons of my life when it's like the Lord will inspire me to listen to someone, or two or three someones, and it'll be like, boom, 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 thank you very much. It helped. Shored things up. The Lord is good that way. For out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth does what? It speaks. What is it speaking? What's in the abundance of your heart? If you want to change what's coming out your mouth, you got to change what's in your heart. In other words, if you find yourself leaking things that you don't believe, then what do? You quit? You give up? No. You dig into the Word. You get some seed. You go to the store. Hey, Abba, I need some seed here, and we're about to overseed. And you spend some time alone, and you open up your heart, and you just put it in, and put it in, and put it in. And you do some weed pulling. Amen? Amen? Thank God for that. And then another thing that I think helps, is I see myself like that tree planted by the rivers of water in Psalms and in Jeremiah. So sometimes the river there, because remember about the tree? It said, you know, it doesn't matter what's going on, it'll always produce fruit. It'll always bear fruit. It'll always bear fruit. So if I'm ever having trouble, one of the things I need to know is I have to get in a flow. Sometimes you say, well, how do you do that? Well, I'm about to tell you. And you're going to help me out, because I need a little bit of a flow right now. I've been through some things in the last few months, and I got some things that are working on me, and you're going to help me work them out, whether you want to or not. And you're going to help me. And I'm going to help you. We're going to get to them. So, we looked at verse 7. Let's just start there, and we're going to run down. And this is not in my notes, so this is just all extra by hanging out, drinking a hot glass of tea back there, and the Lord talking to me. 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you will and it shall be done for you. Herein is my Father glorified. You ready to glorify him? That you bear much fruit, so you shall be my disciples. Verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, is that us? You shall abide in my love, even if I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. There's something about bearing fruit that brings joy. There's something about understanding if I abide in him and his words abide in me, that he hears me when I pray, and that I can have some joy. And so, let's look at John chapter 16. Maybe a little preview of next week, don't know. John 16, verse 23. And in that day you'll ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say to you, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he's going to do what? Hitherto I've asked nothing, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask. How do you ask? If you abide in me and my words abide in, because he's already told them that. He's already feeling like, he already knows, they already understand that now, because he told them. Ask, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you ask what you will and it's going to happen. Father, anything you ask the Father in my name, he's going to do what? He's going to give it to you. You've not asked anything here too in my name, but ask and you're going to what? Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. This is the confidence that I have in him, that if I ask anything according to his will, I know that he hears me. And if I know that he hears me, I know that I got it. I know that I got it. Verse 24, hitherto you ask nothing in my name. Ask so that you'll receive, that your joy may be at half a cup. That your joy would be what? That your joy would be what? when you ask and you bear much fruit and you know you've got it before you see it, then you're full of joy. Jesus said if you'll ask, your joy will be full because you're abiding in him and his word's abiding in you, then you can just already be full of joy. If you're not full of joy, you don't either believe you're not abiding in him or he's not abiding in you, or you don't believe this works. Because when you know that he heard you, what should you be full of? Joy. You don't have to beg him. You're not pleading. You're not trying to work it out. But when you know that he heard you, there's joy. There's joy. Verse number 33. These things I have spoken unto you that in me you might have peace. In the world you got tribulation. But cheer up. What's cheering up like? That's joy. Come on, turn to your neighbors, tell them to cheer up. Be of good cheer. Why? Because I've overcome the world. Has Jesus already overcome? Has Jesus already overcome? Has Jesus already overcome? Is this a done deal? Are you abiding in him and his words abiding in you? Then you can ask what you will and it shall be done. And he said, when you ask, ask and you're going to receive. And what's going to happen? Well, Pastor, when I see it, I'll be full of joy. No, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them. That's when you're having joy. This is the confidence I have in him. When I ask what, I know that he heard me. That's when I have joy. That's when I have joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Why do I need strength? Because I need to bring it forth from the heavens to the earth. What do I need to do that? I need strength. How do I get strength? I have joy. Where did I get my joy? I found his word. I did eat it. It was the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. First Peter. Jim Quillen says, I wrote this. I didn't write this. 1 Peter chapter 1. I guess I've talked about Peter so much, I just took one of his verses, and I love this. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Whom have you not seen? Do y'all love him? I know you do. In whom, though now you see him not. I always look at this too. It's not like I don't see him now, but I don't even maybe see with my natural eyes the manifestation. But I'm not concerned. If you're always praying and believing God, believe with me for a manifestation, that's not faith. Pastor Mark, I'm just believing for my manifestation. That's faith misplaced. It's not real faith. That's not faith. Because faith believes that you got it when you prayed. If you're waiting on a manifestation and believing for a manifestation, you didn't believe the Bible way. Praise the Lord. Though now you see him not. What? Even though I don't see it, I'm what? Yet believing. Are you believing? I'm yet believing. How can I tell? You rejoice. You rejoice again. You rejoice. When are you supposed to rejoice? Always. How long? All day long. You rejoice. How do you rejoice? With joy. Think about that a minute. I'm rejoicing with joy. I'm rejoicing with joy. I'm rejoicing with joy. I'm rejoicing with joy. Well, I don't have any joy. Yes, you do. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's in you. You just got to stir it up every once in a while. You rejoice with joy unspeakable. It means you can't talk about it. So it comes out a little different. So how do I stir it up? Well, sometimes I just got to ha-ha-ha it. Sometimes I just got to, it's unspeakable. Full of glory. Verse 9. Receiving the, how you get to the end? How you get to the end? How you get to the end? Well, you rejoice with joy. How can you rejoice with joy? Because you believed when you prayed that your joy would be full. Yet your joy is full because he heard you when you prayed. Because you've not, Jesus, you didn't ask anything ever before my name. But now if you ask the Father in my name, he'll give it to you. And that your joy would be full. And he said, be of good cheer. Cheer up, I've overcome the world. Cheer up, I've overcome your problem. Cheer up, I've overcome your problem. Cheer up, I've overcome your problem. That's like the Apostle Paul after they on the ship. After he'd spent time with Jesus, spent time with the Word, the storm was still going on, and he came out and announced to them, everybody cheer up. Everybody cheer up. crazy man, you've been alone by yourself, you're not eating, why would we cheer up? Cheer up, the Lord said. Cheer up, the Lord said. Well, I wish the Lord would say to me. He did. Right here. And then if you'll work this, if there's anything personal he needs to tell you, he'll tell you. Well, I'm just waiting on a prophetic utterance. Holy men moved of old with a prophetic utterance, wrote this down. What are you going to do? Well, you're just going to rejoice. I got three big things I'm working on. What are they? They're unspoken. No, they're not. It's just, I have an unspoken request. What is that? An unspoken. Anyway. You got some things you're working on? Anybody need some things, believed for some things? Maybe you thought you'd let go of some things, but the joy of the Lord is your strength. And see, when you have that strength, you can grab a hold of. You can keep hold of. You can keep hold of. Ask so that your joy would be full. His peace, not just any peace, his peace he left with you. So you got joy and peace in believing. And you can rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory. Rejoice with joy. Well, I wish I had some joy. You've got some joy. Have you found his word? Did you eat it? Then it's the joy and the rejoice. So on purpose, you can be full of joy. I'm just telling you, are you trying to work us up? No, I'm trying to get some, I'm trying to work you out. I want to get something out. I'm not trying to work you up emotionally. I want to work something out of you. I know that because you say, well, I don't want to fake anything. Well, some of you can fake singing. You're not that good. But we sing, and I'm in that category. I sing anyway. Oh, I've seen myself on TV singing. It's just the most horrendous thing. I just don't want to see it. But I've gotten through that because I know when I sing, whether I'm in tune or not, when I sing, an anointing comes. Not just for me, but in this case, for you all. But in your case, because the Bible says, you can sing with your understanding or sing in the Spirit also. Sometimes singing in your understanding just means you're just flat going to sing. And then the Holy Ghost will take a hold. I know when the Holy Ghost takes a hold with me when I'm singing, it's way better. But sometimes I just sing around the house. Pastor Rhonda tells me when I'm working on something, I'll start singing. I don't know how it is, but there's one song that when I'm really working on something, I'll start even back here. I'll be walking up down the hall singing because I'm working on something. I'm singing on purpose. But you know, in the same way, can you laugh? So you can, but also there's a taking hold of the Spirit with you, and you can, there's a laugh in the Spirit. But some of you, you don't have to wait. I know sometimes the Lord, when I'm laying hands on people, because the Bible says laughter does good like a medicine. So sometimes the Lord gives prescriptions. Take some word and laugh a little bit. Well, there's nothing funny about it. Ha ha ha, there is too. He who sits in the heavens laughs. And I'm just going to choose to rejoice with joy. Amen. You'll do better if you stand. Hallelujah. How do you get into there? Well, a lot of times I start with just rejoicing. I'll just on purpose rejoice. And then I'll kind of go into a little bit of ha, ha, ha. And then, but I'm going to do this with the Lord. Amen. So I'm just going to do it on purpose. And I'm just, you think about maybe some things that you're dealing with, something the devil's trying to let go of. And you came to church tonight and you've decided, I'm not going to let that go because I'm abiding in him. And his word's abiding in me. And when I prayed, he heard me. And now that I know that he heard me, I know that I have it. And I'm just not going to let go of it. I know that I have it. And I'm not going to let go of it. Hallelujah. I rejoice. I rejoice. I rejoice. I rejoice with joy. Ha, ha, ha. I rejoice with joy. Hallelujah. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Ha, ha, ha. I'm strong in the Lord. I'm strong in the Lord. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, so be hey. I'm strong in the Lord. I'm strong in the Lord. I'm strong. I'm strong. I'm strong in the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm strengthened with all might in my inner man. Ha, ha, ha. I rejoice. I found your word. I did eat it. It's the joy. It's the joy. Ha, ha, ha. It's the joy. It's the joy. It's the joy. You're the joy of my life. The word of God is the joy of my life. There's joy living on the inside of me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Out of the wells of salvation, I draw joy. I draw joy. Ha, ha, ha. Joy. I've got joy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The rivers of God live on the inside of me and they make me glad. The rivers of God live on the inside of me and they make me glad. Hallelujah. I'm cheering up. I'm cheering up. I'm cheering up. It will be just as the Lord said. Hallelujah. Ha, 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 ha. Hallelujah. I've got joy. I've got victory. Hallelujah. Ha, ha, ha. Joy unspeakable. I rejoice. I rejoice. I rejoice. I rejoice. Ha ha ha. Ha ha ha. I rejoice. Ha ha ha. Ha ha ha. Ha ha ha. I rejoice. Ha ha ha. Ha ha ha. I rejoice. Hallelujah. It'll hallelujah. There shall be a performance. 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 Ha, 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 ha. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, 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 ha. Joy unspeakable. Full of glory. Full of glory. I rejoice. I rejoice. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, 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 ha. Victory is mine. Victory divine. I always win because I live in him. Ha, ha, ha. Victory divine. Victory is mine. I always win because God is always on time. Ha, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ha ha ha. Ha ha. Rivers of God making me glad. Rivers of God making me glad. Rivers of God making me glad. Ha ha ha. Ha ha. Ha 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 ha. Ha ha. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I rejoice. With joy. I rejoice with joy. Ha ha. Ha ha ha. Ha
ha ha ha ha ha ha ha ha ha ha ha ha ha ha ha ha ha ha ha ha ha ha ha ha ha ha ha ha ha ha ha ha ha ha ha ha ha ha ha ha ha ha ha ha ha ha ha ha ha ha ha ha ha ha ha ha ha ha ha ha ha ha ha ha ha ha ha. Victory is mine. Victory divine. I always win. My God always on time. Not gonna look behind. I rejoice right now. Woo! Woo! Finding his word, digging deep down. I rejoice at your word, like the spoil found. I rejoice, I'm glad. Woo! Ha ha ha. Your grace and your victory abounds. I always win. I always win. I always win. Always win. I abide in you. Your word abides in me. We always win. We always win. We always win. We always win. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, I just think you ought to lift up your voice, lift up your hands, shout a little bit. Shout with a voice of triumph. Shout with a voice. Hallelujah. Victory, victory, shouts of victory, shouts of victory, shouts of victory, shouts of victory. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah. 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 Well, if I could sing, I'd sing to you. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. I told Satan, get thee behind. Victory today is mine. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. I told Satan, get thee behind. Victory today is mine. Hallelujah. You got victory? You got it? You got it? I say you got it? I say you got it. Not trying to get it. Not trying to get it. I got it. Amen. So my prescription to you is laugh a little more. On purpose. In the Lord. Amen. See something in the Word? Just go, ha, ha, ha. That's good. I take it. Amen. Amen. You believed when you prayed? He heard you, so your joy is full. Yes. Amen. It's not a feeling. Joy is not a feeling. That's happiness. Joy is power in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Joy is fruit. Joy lives in you. The Word will produce it. Rejoice with it. You might be... They don't have to know what's going on. You can have a Holy Ghost fit in your car while you're waiting in line to get on the arsenal.
while you're stuck up on 72 and you can't go anywhere. Amen. No matter where you're stuck in traffic, you can just rejoice. Amen. Glory to God. Well, I kept you a little too long, but we rejoiced, and that's good. And now you can go home. Hallelujah.